Number 39, or Doc's Office, 39. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to meet here this morning, hear another portion of thy word, sing songs of praise, your great name. Be with us as we go through this service, and may everything we do be in accordance with thy will. Thank you, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, we're getting birthdays this morning. Oh, I thought you were holding hands. Okay.
One each year, that's
all. One love.
We do have a number of prayer requests to share with you. Jody Vickers, she's in Florida now, but she's asked for prayer for the family of her nephew, Luke Hubbard, who was killed in an auto accident last week. He was 39 years old, had small children aged 6 and 2. So Jody's asking for prayer for his family, and we certainly should be able to do that. We want you to keep on praying for Tammy View and Becky Hilterbrand and Leslie Horn, along with all the other staff and residents at Thompson Hood Veterans Center. Also include Tommy Garrett, who's a stroke patient there at that facility now. And we ask you to continue praying for Chris and Rhoda Christie at Sayre Christian Village Nursing Home, and Lisa Maines, who's dealing with some pretty severe vision problems.
She had her first surgery, and her
She had her first surgery, and she's doing okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah. And of course, our several friends who are cancer patients, too. Bud Jeanette, Allison Moss, Randy Olson, Kagan Guy, Ron Cundiff, Joe Peel. The list keeps growing. Okay, that's Ron Cundiff. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Sandy. We have, of course, our college students. Don't forget them. And also Maxine Mulkey, who's out with a broken arm. She wants us to pray that she'll not need to have surgery after that arm heals up. And two other names were added to our prayer list last week, Charlene Hale, who's recovering from successful surgery, and Judy McCauley, who used to attend here, now in Florida, but she's suffering from a severe case of COVID and still on the ventilator in the hospital. So we ask you to keep praying for her, and also for Marcia gave me two names this morning, Peggy and Joe Barker, her husband and wife, and who are suffering from COVID-19. She has a mild case. He is in the hospital on ventilator. So they are very definitely in need of prayer. And also, Fran mentioned Wendy Dalton, who is a COVID patient, tested positive for COVID. And That means she's in, I started to say she's on a ventilator. No, that note means she's in Virginia. But we ask you to pray for these folks because that is a serious matter and they need your support and they certainly need God's help. After today, we had thought we would suspend posting our service on Facebook and broadcasting it to the parking lot, but we've had a spurt of interest, it seems. What we would ask is if, especially you folks in Florida, if you would like to continue seeing the broadcast on Facebook, let us know. If you watch it on Facebook, put a comment in there, and so that we know who's watching it and whether they like it or not, whether they want to see it or not. We don't know if it's the people who've been here looking at it again or if it's people we just don't know who it is watching. So if you'd like to see it on Facebook, please let us know and we'll know how to proceed from that. Okay. We have communion every Sunday here at Little Hickman, and we certainly are happy to share it with anyone who's a follower of Jesus. And if you're in the parking lot listening to us and you'd like to be served communion, please let us know. Blow your horn or come to the door and let us know that you're out there and that you want to be served, and we'd be glad to do it. It occurs to me that when I'm about to receive the bread and the cup of communion, I'm not performing a religious ritual. I am celebrating a relationship. There's a big difference. I'm approaching a person, Jesus Christ. And He's not just remembered in the gift of the loaf and the cup. He is the gift. He gave everything He had, His very life. And His words, "This is my body, this is my blood," can be boiled down to three simple words, I think. Me for you. He gave Himself for us. And I think Paul said the same thing in 2 Corinthians. He said, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So I think what God wants to hear from us in communion is that same phrase given back to Him, me for you, us for Him.
224 will be our meeting on 224.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and for on all my pride.
Once again, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, this opportunity to come here and serve You and do what Your Scriptures say. Lord, thank You for protecting us this week, keeping us safe. We thank You for everything that we have. We know it comes from You. As You look after our sick families, that's lost loved ones this week, Lord, be with the men and women to protect this great country. We thank You for everything that we have. For this, we do in Christ's name. We ask You for everything. As we partake of this bread and this cup, which represent Your broken body on Calvary's cross for our sins, thank You. Amen.
Dear Lord God, again, thank you for this glorious day you blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing we receive each day. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
These are uncertain times, and I really do appreciate that you folks have been come here this morning and share fellowship with us and worship together, and I wish you nothing but good. I don't know of anyone in this fellowship who's been infected with COVID-19. And I think that's a real blessing God has given to us. So feel safe and be happy, and let's sing. Let's turn to hymn number 524 and sing At Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that grew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. All right. Let's turn then to hymn number 545 and sing the first and last verses of He Lifted Me, number 545. In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace He lifted me. From sinking sand He lifted me, with tender hand He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise His name, He lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why I cannot tell, He should have lifted me. From sinking sand He lifted me, with tender hand He lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise His name, He lifted me. Just a note, if you will leave your hymn books on the pew where you're sitting, they can be sanitized for next week. Now, our prayer hymn this morning is number 445. We want to sing just the first verse as we come to God in prayer. Well, let's stand while we sing. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Our gracious God, while our nation is in such turmoil, we thank You for a place and a people like this, with whom we can gather in peace and examine our own hearts. We ask You to search us and cast out all that is unworthy of the name of Christ, so we may become part of the solution instead of the problem. Help us to see our flaws, Lord, and not to think we're all right because we're not as bad as some folks are. We need Your mercy, and we ask for it humbly as we take time now to consider the incredible gifts you offer us in Your Son, for we pray in His blessed name. Amen. I have a song I want to share with you this morning. It's one that I haven't sung very much. But it's one that every one of us perhaps could sing, because we're all headed in the same direction, hopefully. We are, as this song says, homeward bound. And I'm happy to know that my wife is accompanying me as I sing.
Lately, when I close my eyes, I start to think of home. And then I start to realize how quickly time has gone. It seems like only yesterday God claimed me for His own and put this dream within my heart, and now I'm going home. To that sweet forever, a place where there will never be a tear. Homeward bound, where I'll sing of love's sweet story, up there in heaven's glory I'll be found. I'm heaven bound. Lately it's been hard for me. I know I'm not alone. I know that we will go and see the folks we've loved and known, and there we'll all join in and sing, rejoicing round God's throne. Sorrow will be put away, and we'll be going home. Homeward bound, up to that sweet forever, a place where there will never be a tear. Homeward bound, where I'll sing love's sweet story, up there in heaven's glory I'll be found. I'm homeward bound. Homeward bound, up there a sweet forever, a place where there will never be a tear. Homeward bound, where I'll sing of love's sweet story, up there in heaven's glory I'll be found. I'm heavenward bound. Homeward bound.
Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. I want to read just a few verses that the Apostle Peter wrote. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." That's a long passage of Scripture. And we're not going to delve into every facet of it, but I would like to make some comments about it. Max Lucado wrote a book called Come Thirsty. And in the book, he told the story of a little Haitian orphan girl whose name was Carinette. He says, Carinette lived in a different world. The world she lived in, she called her home to be. And let me quote from his book. He says, see the slender girl wearing the pink shirt? The girl with the long nose and bushy hair and the handful of photos? Ask to see them, Clarinette will let you. Fail to ask, she'll show you anyway. The photos bear the image of her future family. She has been adopted. Her adoptive parents are friends of mine. They brought her pictures, a teddy bear, granola bars, and cookies. Carinette shared the goodies and asked the director to guard her bear, but she keeps the pictures. They remind her of her home to be. Within a month or two at the most, she'll be there. She knows the day is coming. Every opening of the gate makes her heart jump. Any day now, her father will appear. He promised he'd be back. He came once to claim her. He'll come again to take her home. Till then, she lives with a heart headed home, homeward bound. Shouldn't we all live that way? Carinette's situation, I think, mirrors ours. Our father paid us a visit, too. Have we been claimed? Have we been adopted? Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, so you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into His family, calling him Father, dear Father. Max's story of Carinette, I think, is a great illustration of a Christian's hope. We have a living hope. Carinette is an orphan who has already been adopted, but she's not been picked up by her new daddy. So since she knows that she's going to be picked up soon, she lives with this joyous hope of what's going to happen any day now. And I think Christians live in a world much different from the rest of the people living around who haven't been adopted by God yet. Carinette called her different world home to be because she knew she was going there soon and it was going to be very different from living in the orphanage. I think like Carinette, this world is not our home. We are, the Bible says, we're foreigners here. We're aliens. We're elect exiles. Orphans that have been adopted, we just haven't been picked up yet. In the meantime, our Heavenly Father has given us a teddy bear. Well, He calls it His Holy Spirit to comfort us and keep His company and be a constant reminder of His love for us and His promise that He's coming soon to pick us up. Till then, we need to live with our hearts headed home. That's what Peter's talking about in this passage of Scripture. He says we've been adopted, and God's going to take us home. It's just that we're still living in the orphanage right now, this world, but it's not really our home. Our citizenship, Paul said, was in heaven. The Bible tells us in John 3:16 that God came looking to adopt all the orphans in the orphanage. For God so loved the world that whosoever, that's a big word, those who accept His offer become His adopted children. And like Carinette, No one earns that. God just wants us to be in His family because He loves us. But that hope, you see, is for Christians only. He says, in verse 3, He says, in His great mercy, He has given us a new birth unto a living hope. I love how Paul makes that same point when he wrote to the Ephesians. He said, you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. We're the King's property. We become God's precious and protected possession until He comes to pick us up. And God didn't have to adopt us. You know, stop and think about that. God did not have to adopt any of us any more than anybody has to adopt anybody. It's not a requirement. God didn't birth us into sin, so He really has no responsibility to deliver us from our sin. But because of His great love and mercy, He acted to save us from our sins. Paul said again in Romans, God demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So like the Good Samaritan, God didn't just walk by us in our pitiful condition and wish us good luck. Not at all. He stopped, He cleaned us up, He provided for our needs, and He went even further and adopted us into His family. That's amazing to me. One preacher told about visiting Henry, who was on death row awaiting execution. When the preacher entered the visitation room, Henry was already sitting there, and he looked up and asked the preacher, "Are you a Christian?" And the preacher said, "Well, yes. Are you?" Henry said, "No." The preacher said, "Would you like to be?" And when Henry said, "Yes," they spent the rest of their time together sharing the gospel of Jesus. And as a result, Henry accepted Jesus as his personal Savior and was baptized into Christ. He was still on death row, on our death row, but he is no longer on God's death row because he'd been adopted. And one day he'll be going to his home to be. Do you know for sure you've been adopted? Because this hope is for those who've been adopted into God's family. And it's a living hope. He said He's given us new birth unto a living hope. Paul said in Thessalonians, brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. I like to use that scripture at graveside services, reminding folks that there would be a great reunion one day. God will bring us all together again. I never went to not a single one of my high school reunions. I wish I had. But I have managed to connect with some of my former classmates on the internet in later years now, and it was a great joy to hear from them again. But we have this hope of a future reunion with Jesus and with our loved ones. And that keeps a lot of us going. It's a fixed hope, a clear and sure vision of what God will do for us, promises to do for us in the future. There's no doubt about it. It's not like a chance in the lottery or even the weather forecast. It's a sure and certain hope. And we should never have to say, I hope I'll be saved. Because we can know we've been saved. And we can look forward to our home to be. I heard a story about a little boy who was standing at the foot of an escalator in a large department store. And he was watching the handrail go around and around and around. And he stood there for a long time, and one of the salespeople saw him and finally came over to him and asked if he was lost. The little boy said, "Nope, I'm just waiting for my gum to come back." Now, that's a living hope. He knew it was going to come back. It had to come back. He just didn't know when it would get there. You have that a living hope? Are you confident that you go to heaven when you die? I hope so. Because this involves a great inheritance, Peter said in that passage of Scripture. Maybe you've already received an inheritance, but if you have, I know one thing, two things about it. You didn't do anything to earn it, and somebody had to die for you to get it. That's a lot like us. I told my daughter Amy I didn't think I wanted to marry again after my wife died, because I wanted to leave everything I had to her, including my house. She said, "Well, whatever you have is yours, you should use it." But I still want to leave her an inheritance. I want to give her that joy, at least. And I believe God wants to bless us too, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it. Even though it meant His Son had to die to make it possible, He wants to give us the joy of an incredible inheritance waiting for us in heaven. It's being kept there for us. Peter says it can never perish, it can never spoil, it can never fade. You can't spend it all. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." And that reminds me of the old television show. Remember The Fear Factor? Did you ever watch that? I didn't watch it much. I couldn't watch some of it. But the contestants faced all kinds of terrible circumstances. But once they got through all the yucky, scary stuff, they got a lot of money. We face some yucky stuff in our lives, too. Some scary stuff, even. But in the end, Peter says, you've got a heavenly inheritance waiting for you. He was writing to Christians who'd been scattered to the four winds, and they were suffering all kinds of trials. He didn't want them to become discouraged. He wanted them to keep thinking about what was waiting for them in heaven, and to be happy. It's similar to the musical Annie. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that musical, but it's a delightful story about little orphan Annie and Daddy Warbucks and how he took her from the orphanage. But in the musical, Annie sings a song called "It's a Hard Knock Life," about life in the orphanage. She says, "It's a hard knock life for us. Don't it feel like the wind is always howling? Don't it seem like there's never any light? Once a day, don't you want to throw the towel in? Well, it's easier than putting up a fight. No one's there when your dreams at night get creepy. No one cares if you grow or if you shrink. No one dries when your eyes get wet and weepy from all the crying. You'd think this place would sink. Empty belly life, rotten smelly life, full of sorrow life, no tomorrow life. No one cares for you a smidge when you're in an orphanage. It's the hard knock life." Wow. God knows there are times when we do need some hope. When life gets tough, maybe even rotten and smelly, we need something to look forward to. And we tend to grow accustomed sometimes to the hard bunks we sleep on and the tin plates we eat on here in the orphanage as we live as strangers in this world. But like Karenette, although we've been adopted, we haven't yet been transported. We know our Father's name. We haven't seen His face. So here we are, caught between what is and what's going to be, how do we keep our hearts headed home? We live by faith. Peter says, as our faith is refined, it's proved to be genuine, and God is brought to glory. When little Annie was waiting for Daddy Warbucks to come and take her home, the other orphans encouraged her with another song. They sang, "You won't be an orphan for long. Oh, you won't be an orphan for long." Where other men would call it quits and disappear, he'll use his fortune and his wits, so never fear. Cross the street or cross the sea, Annie's sweet, we guarantee that you won't be an orphan for long. And that brought Annie great cheer, great hope. And I think we need to be encouraged by the fact that we won't be orphans for long, because one day God will come and He'll take us home. And that's the hope that keeps me living, and I hope it helps you too. We're going to sing Invitation Hymn in just a moment or two. Well, we have to get our pianist back first, don't we? We'll think a moment about this hope that we have. And someone said that you cannot live without hope. You can live for a while without water. You can live for a little while without air. But you cannot live without hope. And I think it's true. People give up. But with hope, you have no reason to give up. And that's what Peter says we have. We have a living hope. And one that should keep us going and keep us hopeful. So while we sing our invitation hymn, we're going to sing just the first and the last verses. Number 312, I'm Coming Home. I've wandered far away from home. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open now thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. All right. Let's pray together. Dear Father, the difficulties and the temptations and the hardships that trouble us so severely in this life seem to become almost insignificant when we consider the glories you promise when we walk in your way. Glories that go far beyond this life into eternity. So thank you for the assurance you give us in your word and through your Holy Spirit. We ask you to stay with us now as we leave this beautiful fellowship and venture out into the world again. These things we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. With you in the heart of heaven, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Amen.